Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
I'm Tracy from Stuff You Missed in History Class. Are you a small business owner or even someone who dreams of entrepreneurship? Then check out season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from iHeart Podcasts and Intuit QuickBooks. Join hosts Austin Hankwitz and Janice Torres as they interview entrepreneurs sharing insights around starting and nurturing a small business. You won't want to miss these inspiring stories of entrepreneurship and discovering ways to business differently so you can too.
Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
The Kakadu plum is an Australian native superfood containing 100 times more vitamin C than oranges. So why have you never heard of it? PR. No one's drinking a Kakadu smoothie? I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward, inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
Welcome to Stuff You Missed in History Class from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hello and welcome to the podcast. I'm Katie Lambert.
And I'm Sarah Dowdy.
And we put a call out on our Twitter at Missed in History, if you haven't followed us yet, for some Irish history topics in honor of St. Patrick's Day. And we got back lots of suggestions. Today's choice is Brian Boru, who's the High King of Ireland. But we also put out a call for some pronunciation help because we have to confess that even though we're both Irish girls, it was easier for us to figure out the Chinese pronunciations in the Opium Wars than it is for us to figure out the Gaelic pronunciations for this one.
So we owe Roger and his Irish friends Carolyn and Ashling a huge thank you.
And any mistakes we make are not their fault, they're ours. They did their best to spell them out phonetically for us. So we're doing our best today, we promise.
So on to Brian Boru, and you know, we got some suggestions for St. Patrick, which are really great, but we were hoping that maybe most of you would have a pretty good idea of the story of Ireland's other national hero. But for Brian Boru, I mean, I don't think either of us had ever heard of him.
No.
So he is called by some the last great High King of Ireland, and he's the originator of the O'Brien clan. The Kennedys are supposedly descendants of Brian Boru, and apparently everyone in an Irish pub,
too. I think if you ask around, you're going to find a lot of descendants of Brian Boru. So to talk about him, we're going to go into a little bit of Irish history first. So in 400 BC is when the Celts get to Ireland from Europe and they introduce iron. In the 5th century AD, St. Patrick introduced Christianity. And this was considered to be a golden age for Ireland. There's peace, there's scholarly pursuits, but that all changes in 795 when the Vikings showed up.
And the Vikings are, of course, Scandinavian peoples from Norway, Sweden, and Denmark. And they call themselves the Osmen, which is east.
The men of the east.
Yeah. And at first, they stick to stealing from the monasteries. You know, we talked about the Book of Kells, sacking all the good loot that you could find at a monastery, and burning fields. But then they decide that they might actually like to settle down and trade. And there's not a strong government to oppose them, so they can pretty much do whatever they want.
What were the Irish clans doing? Well, they were all fighting with each other. Europe's feudal system had a way of dealing with interlopers like the Vikings, but there was too much conflict between the tribes and the clans in Ireland for it to work there. And there were also a lot of weird rules about succession and land ownership that made that difficult. And we should also say that some say the Irish were just as violent and aggressive as the Vikings. There's a tendency to paint, I guess, the Irish people as innocent, peace-loving people, and then the Vikings as evil interlopers, and that's not quite the way it went.
And there's not an Ireland like we would think of today either. There are a bunch of warring tribes. People are identifying themselves with their families, not this country.
Yes. The Vikings themselves weren't united in Ireland either. The Norse Vikings and the Danish Vikings would get into conflicts, and they would also team up with Irish people. An Irish king might get together with a Viking against another Irish king, for example. So
you'd have weird matching.
Black and white with this one. And I love also that I said the Irish were peace-loving people when we're talking about the fighting Irish.
I kind of snickered at Katie when she said that.
We're just going to gloss over that one. The Vikings also intermarried with the Irish, and they all traded with each other. So there's a little bit more to it than you might usually get. We can generally call this a period of chaos, however.
And the Vikings displace some of these clans in Ireland that have held power for so long, and it leaves a power vacuum. There's an open space, and somebody comes along to fill it.
And that person was Brian Boru. He was born around 940 in County Clare, and he was a member of the Dal Cosh tribe. His father, Kenetigh, was king of North Munster. When he was growing up, he was probably taught by monks, and his experience with the Vikings was negative, to say the very least. His mother was murdered by Vikings and various other members of his family, and he was a witness to that. So understandably, he held a lot of animosity toward them.
Yeah, he has 11 siblings, and his brother Mahun or Magaman took over as king after their dad died in 951. And they added more of Munster to their kingdom. And he tries for peace with the Vikings, the brother. Brian wants war, though, and specifically he wants to wage guerrilla warfare.
Which, as we've mentioned, is becoming a bit of a theme in our podcast. So Brian heads to the hills and attacks the Norsemen from there, and he's very, very good at what he does. The Irish people back him up because many of them don't want the Vikings there either. And eventually his brother comes around to his frame of mind and joins him.
Yeah, when things are looking pretty good.
So they get the Vikings out of South Ireland, which some might say is as great an accomplishment as St. Patrick driving the snakes out, but that's up to you.
So Brian becomes the leader of the Dal Cosh in 976 when his brother dies, and he defeats Muilfadal, who was the king of the Onacht, which was a very powerful clan, in 978. So now he's king of all of Munster.
So Brian Boru is now in control of most of southwestern Ireland, actually most of southern Ireland. But it's not just the Vikings he has to worry about fighting anymore. There is a man named Mal Shacknall, who's king of one of the most powerful clans, if not the most powerful clan, in Ireland. And since this clan is just so important, and also because we forgot to ask Roger how to pronounce it, we're just going to spell it for you. It's U-I space N-E-I-L-L. And Mal Shacknall is their king, and he doesn't like the Vikings, and he also doesn't like how much power Brian has. According to legend, he even cut down a sacred tree of the Dal Coshians to show that they didn't have dominion over him.
Which is, those are fighting
gestures. Oh no, you did not.
Gestures. So Mal Shacknall fought the Vikings too, though, and he drove them out of Dublin, becoming High King of Ireland there. But in 988, Brian came up the River Shannon and attacked Mal Shacknall's holdings in Connacht and Meath. And finally, he and Mal Shacknall split up Ireland in 997, Brian becoming High King of the South. So we have two rulers at this point splitting the country in half.
But this didn't hold, of course. One of the provinces, Leinster, rebelled. There were five provinces at the time, Ulster, Leinster, Munster, Connacht, and Meath. Today, Meath is just a county in Leinster, just so you know. And the Leinstermen rebelled. They didn't like being under Brian's rule, so he basically smooshed their army and then plundered Dublin. He marched on Tara, which was the seat of the kings, and made Mal Shacknall give him the high kingship of all of Ireland in 1002.
So Brian rules as High King from 1002 to 1014, and we should say, too, that the role of High King is more of a symbolic one, because it's not like we have a united Ireland even now. The feudal system is kind of kicked in, but things are still too fractured with all of these warring clans and tribes for him to really rule them all. I'm sure there are plenty of people who aren't allied with the king.
And under Brian's rule, we have a bit of a renaissance. He does a lot to try to rebuild what the Vikings destroyed. He's a patron of the arts, of literature, of religious architecture, and he tries to reclaim relics from Europe that have been taken from Ireland. As far as his personal life goes, he had multiple marriages and sons, which was apparently par for the course among the Irish kings.
But nothing lasts forever, even for Brian. And there's another revolt in 1013 when the king of Leinster, Maelmordha, got the Vikings on his side and were reinforced by lots of the other counties.
And to quell this rebellion, Brian got 30,000 men together and headed to Clontarf near Dublin in April of 1014. But Brian is very old by the time, somewhere in his 80s, so he's not much for battle. His relatives are going to lead the army instead. He'll be in a tent praying for them, and much to his surprise and mine, Mal Shaknal agrees to help him.
His old rival, yeah, the other old high king. And so we have the Battle of Clontarf, which started on April 23rd, 1014, which was Good Friday. Almost 4,000 Irishmen died, which was, you know, a large number, and including Brian's son, Maroc or Marked, who supposedly behaved heroically. But it was even worse for the Vikings and the Leinstermen.
They lost around 7,000 people, according to some estimates. Brian ended up winning. The Vikings retreated, pursued to their ships, but on their way back, according to the story, they found Brian in his tent praying, and they killed him with an axe, although supposedly he was able to kill three of them before he died, including beheading one of them.
So the victorious yet dead Brian is honored with a 12-day wake. And we're left with the question, was the Battle of Clontarf important? And some people say it marks the end of Viking domination in Ireland. So in that count,
pretty big deal.
Yes, very important.
But the other side says not really. Most of the Vikings ended up staying. And it was just, it made a pretty story. It was something that was easy to turn into, you know, literary loveliness. But as far as actual political significance, maybe there wasn't a lot.
And maybe it even had a negative impact.
Well, it's interesting to think about. You know, Brian's male relatives mostly died in the battle, as did he, of course. So their power kind of fell apart. But if he hadn't died, and if they all hadn't died out,
left heirs,
would Ireland have been a monarchy?
And that's a really interesting question to ponder. If you imagine this unified, very cohesive Ireland existing after this. And if you have any insight there, please email us at historypodcast@howstuffworks.com. We'd love to hear your ideas about what might have happened had Brian and his descendants ruled on.
We'd also like to hear your viewpoint on Brian Boru, because there are a couple of different ones. There's the side who thinks of him as this great Irish patriot and national hero who led the Irish people against the Vikings and died for them. It's a story that's almost mythical. The Stone of Destiny was said to roar when Brian was crowned, and his blood when he died was said to have healed the injuries of an Irish boy. But of course, there's always another side.
But of course, some people also say that Brian Boru better epitomizes the Irish infighting, Irish fighting Irish, rather than Irish fighting Vikings, and that the Vikings fought on both sides anyways. And some people say that his allegiance to his clan was more important than his allegiance to Ireland as a whole.
Regardless of what you think Brian Boru's place is, he still very much has a place in Ireland. At Trinity College, you can find what's called Brian Boru's harp, even though it was not his and has nothing to do with his life, but it's an instrument dating back to the 15th century. And that same harp is seen on the Guinness logo, as well as the heraldic symbols of Ireland. He's still very much around.
And there are 750,000 O'Briens throughout the world, so he's made some kind of impact.
We plan to talk to Conan O'Brien about this on Twitter. Watch out, Conan.
And that brings us to listener mail.
Today's email is from Ted of Santa Cruz, California, about our Zenobia Warrior Queen podcast. And he says, you made one slight error by referring to corn in the podcast. Prior to Columbus's discovery of the Americas and North American maize, corn referred to any grain, usually wheat. only after maize became the major staple crop of the world did it become popularly known as corn. The other grains are named precisely, such as wheat, rye, barley, oats, etc. So your listeners might have been confused by your use of corn. I do love your podcasts, so please keep doing them. So thank you to Ted for the correction.
So that about wraps up Brian Boru. We're going to wish everyone happy St. Patrick's Day. Katie, Slancha.
And I'm going to pick up a Guinness.
Yeah.
For Brian Boru.
Celebrate that harp. And if you have anything else you'd like to learn about Irish history, you should visit our homepage. It's www.howstuffworks.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com. And be sure to check out the Stuff You Missed in History Class blog on the howstuffworks.com homepage.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
This is Raquel Willis from Queer Chronicles. Right now, there are close to 500 anti-LGBTQ plus bills in state legislatures across the country. Lambda Legal is leading the charge against these hateful bills that target mostly trans and non-binary people. You can fight discrimination and help write the next chapter of Lambda Legal history. To learn more about their open cases and to donate, visit lambdalegal.org. That's lambdalegal.org.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.
We are the voice of NASCAR.
The green flag is in the air, and we are underway. The Great American Race.
The Motor Racing Network. NASCAR Cup, Xfinity, and Craftsman Truck Series Racing. Live on your hometown radio station and MRN or NASCAR.com. Martinsville, Talladega, the Chicago Street Course. We have the side-by-side action and last lap passes for the win.
Photo finishes. Ryan Blaney will win.
The voice of NASCAR, the Motor Racing Network. Work.